Well, hey everybody, Derek Garman here for this month's Fireside Chat, and I want to welcome you to this month's Fireside Chat. It's good to have you aboard and good to have you with me. Now, this month's Fireside Chat is going to be mainly, well, not mainly, it's just going to be in podcast format. Okay, podcast format. So a lot of times, well, I should say most of the time, you're used to seeing me conduct the Fireside Chat on video and also offer it through podcast. But this month, we're just going to go with the podcast format and make it available to you through podcast. So that's going to be our format this month, and looking forward to providing you the information on this podcast / Fireside Chat for this month. Now, I know many of you have been with me for a long time, or some of you have been with me just for a while, but I know that there's some of you that this may be new. This may be your first Fireside Chat. So let me just tell you what the Fireside Chat is all about here for about 30 seconds. So you have an idea what's going on and what you're listening to, and you'll know what to look forward to in the future. The Fireside Chat is basically me sitting around with you informally, just like we were at a coffee shop, a restaurant. You're sitting in my office. Maybe we're just sitting around my conference room table just chatting. Maybe we're out having a cup of coffee. Maybe we're having a beer. Maybe a glass of wine. That's pretty much the format. It's just basically me sitting around with you, so to speak, as I would with friends, because I consider you a friend of mine. And that's pretty much the format, sitting around, chatting with each other, just like we're friends. And that's pretty much it. And that's pretty much the way the format of the Fireside Chat is. There's not a lot of formality. It's pretty much, again, just like, you know, we're sitting around hanging out and we're chatting with each other. Now, this month's Fireside Chat is going to focus on what I consider a pretty proven real estate formula. And I'm actually going to go over what I would consider two real estate formulas. And before I go into what they are, and I'm actually not going to take a lot of time to do it because they're both pretty self-explanatory, what I'm not going to be doing in terms of what my formula is it's not going to be something that is, P arrow Q, X over X squared over, 35, the square root of 652. It's not going to be anything like that. It's really going to be what I would call a general formula for low-risk real estate investing. And let's face it, with the way the economy is going, and not that it's going terrible, but the way the economy now reacts to so many things, political, economic, we can make a long list, that has nothing to do with an investment anymore. And I've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to go over it in detail. But the bottom line is, with the sensitivity and the fragility of our economy, it makes sense for many people, probably including you, to invest in real estate. And again, we're not saying that you sink all of your chips, so to speak, in real estate, but from a diversification standpoint, it really makes a lot of sense, because real estate in general is not going to have the kind of up and down, quick, fast acting roller coaster kinds of reactions that can take your investment all over the map within weeks. I mean, the value of our apartment properties is not going to change in a week, okay? Our rental income, the rents that we charge, are not going to change in a week. But a lot of stock prices do, a lot of bond prices do, a lot of mutual funds do, and et cetera, et cetera. And so it makes a lot of sense in today's economy to be looking seriously at least having some of your chips in real estate. So then the question becomes, how do I look at real estate investing? What should I be looking at that is going to provide me the benefits of owning a good real estate property, but it's also going to be a low risk kind of investment? Because look, you can get into some very, very risky real estate ventures, real estate opportunities. There's no question about it. So how do you kind of separate from a formulaic standpoint, the less risk for more risk, so you're not putting yourself out there and risking yourself and your investment unnecessarily. Okay. I can really make this easy for you. And that's the plan. I mean, you don't need to read 7 books and take 7 DVD courses and a course at your community college to understand what I'm going to tell you. First of all, the first formula is this. If you're looking to invest, whether it's regular money or IRA money, you want to be looking for well-located, well-maintained, well-managed apartment properties. Okay? Now, not much really confusing about that. There's not a lot of sophistication involved in that, is there? And that's the beauty of it. We don't need a whole bunch of analysis and sophistication to know that well-located, well-maintained, well-managed apartment properties are the place to put your money. The more, the better. Okay? The more, the better. That is one of the main places, if not the main place, if you're looking to invest in real estate, you should be looking at that place. That's formula number one. Well-located, well-maintained, and well-managed apartment properties that you can look at. You can drive by, you can walk around, and you can tell based on the 3 things I just mentioned, this is a place that people like to live, want to live, and will continue to want to live there. Okay? Not really a lot of confusion there. It's pretty easy to figure that out, right? So that is where you really want to look at investing your money. Low-risk apartment properties, like I mentioned. The bigger the property, the better, by the way. Contrary to what a lot of people think, well, maybe I should just invest in like a 4-unit, an 8-unit. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But if you can, the larger the property in the best locations, in the best managed and best maintained, the bigger they are, the more you want to be involved in those as an owner. Whether you want to be active or passive, of course, is a different conversation for a different time. I have partners and investors that are both. The majority of our investors, of course, the vast majority are passive investors owning properties like I just described. But I've got quite a few active ones that, you know, they own their own properties, they oversee them, and they take care of the day-to-day operations, and that's the way they want it. And so why am I telling you that I think that apartment properties like I just described are low risk? I'm going to give you the main reason and then kind of a follow-up sub-reason for it. The main reason is simply this. People have decided, most people that are at the time in their lives where they can afford to financially own their own home or condo are deciding not to do it. Okay? The majority of people are deciding not to do it. Don't get me wrong. There's lots of homes being developed. For example, here on Cedar Rapids, I see homes and condominiums being developed. They're being sold. Sure, that's happening. So I'm not in any way saying that the single-family home and condominium market is dead. It's not. But it is not even close to what it used to be, and it won't even be close to what it used to be for many, many years, if ever. Mainly because the great American dream is not seen as the great American dream anymore because now there's risk involved. And everyone has learned how much risk there is involved based on what has happened, what happened in the late 2000, 2008 through 2011. Okay, you can even go back to 2007, I guess. And so it isn't seen the same way that it used to be seen. as that no-fail investment. It is an investment that could fail. And depending on how bad it was during, let's just say, the real estate bust, wherever you are at, it's going to be even, that's even going to be worse the case. The case is going to be even worse there. Okay. So here around Cedar Rapids, the real estate bust wasn't that significant. So you don't see as much unwillingness from buyers of apartments or single family homes that can afford to do so, shying away from it, but you see a lot of it. And so in areas where it was bad, you're going to see a ton of it. Okay, you are. There are not enough buyers out there that want to own their own home or condo. Okay. Another reason why there's not enough buyers is because people today that can afford to do that and want to do that, and by when I say do that, I mean move into their own home or condo, don't want to because they want flexibility. Okay. They want flexibility. Renting provides them a ton of flexibility, especially when we're talking about careers and jobs. In today's world, most people will have multiple careers and jobs, and even if they're with the same company, if they want to make any kind of progress, most of the time, they're going to have to move around, aren't they? Okay, they're not going to be able to stay in the same place. So just to give you an idea, I have a friend of mine that right out of college started working for Procter & Gamble. Okay, and you know what he does isn't important, but you know the point I'm going to tell you about him is, right out of college, he has moved, I think, a total of a dozen times since that time. Okay, a dozen. Why? Two reasons. One, he wants to continue to progress through the company and make his way up through the company, okay? But he wants to remain relevant too. So he's told me if I don't move or take these promotions, pretty soon they're not going to come around anymore and I'm going to be stagnant, and a stagnant employee is an employee that most companies want to do what with? That's right, get rid of. Okay, so his little microcosm situation there gives you an idea as to why many more people than ever have no interest. They have an interest in buying their own home or condo, but they won't. Okay, because they want that flexibility. All right. The second reason why that this is the case, kind of, I've already, that was the second reason, but let me give you kind of a sub reason. It's still hard for many people to qualify. Okay, so even if the floodgates open and everybody, well, let's build a ton of home or condo developments, it is still so very difficult to qualify. Just to give you an idea, I'm on a homeowners association. I'm a secretary of a homeowners association for a condominium property here in Cedar Rapids. Okay, and so when these condos sell, a lot of times the lenders get in touch with my office wanting information, you know, wanting to verify condo fees and those kinds of things. And I'm going to tell you, what these lenders want is almost like a DNA test sent to them. The amount of information they want just on the homeowners association is unbelievable. And we've even had to tell some lenders no, because that's what you want, we're not going to provide that. We've not provided that in the past. We're not digging through our records to provide you X, Y, and Z. Here's the way the operations are. Here's the way the association runs, and here's how we do it. And a lot of lenders don't like that. And they get grouchy about it. Well, we're not going to finance it. Well, that's your prerogative. But it never used to be that way. And so you have so much more difficulty in obtaining financing today versus what it used to be like. It's a hurdle. It's a huge pain. It's like getting your teeth pulled without Novocaine in many cases. And at the end of the day, you could spend a ton of time spinning your wheels and still not have your financing in place. And so many people are just don't want to do that. They don't want to get involved in that, nor can they qualify to get involved in it. So you throw just those things together, and you find that there are not enough buyers out there that are looking to own their own homes or condos that are going to flock out of apartments en masse and own their own place. It's not going to be the case. It's not the case. It's not going to be the case. And it's not going to be the case, I don't think, if at all, for a long, long time. All right. So that's the main point I wanted to make to you about a well-located, well-maintained, and well-managed apartment property. Got to find them, get involved in them sooner versus later. Regular money, IRA money, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just make a point to do it. You'll be very, very happy you did. So that's number one. Number two, you're going to be able to answer this. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it. What investment out there that is real estate is most related to people that live in apartments? So if I were to say, what investment is so closely related to apartments that it's kind of scary, what investment would you guess it would be? If you said self-storage facilities or storage garages, you're right on it. Because think about it. Where do people have to put all their crap? Right? They can't keep it in their apartments, even though, believe me, we have some tenants in our apartments that try to do that. They try to turn their apartment actually into a apartment slash storage garage slash storage facility. We went in through one unit in an inspection here not too long ago, and this was in a small one-bedroom apartment. There wasn't even really room to walk around the apartment. This tenant had not only, you know, things you would typically find in an apartment. They had garden tools. They had a mini bike. They had buckets of paint. They had a whole bunch of power tools. I mean, this thing was just incredible. Mr. Tenant, you got to move all your crap out and get it out of here. Where are they going to put it? That's right, storage garage. And so storage garage facilities are another excellent avenue to look at, because more and more people, as the population grows, are going to continue to live in apartments versus their own home. And where are they going to put all their crap? That's right, in a storage garage. Or in some cases, multiple storage garages. And the added benefit to that is you even have a lot of homeowners, me included, by the way, that also has storage garages. Even though I own my own home, even though I've got a three-stall garage, even though I've got a full basement, I have storage garages too that have all my crap in them. Okay. So if you're looking for another really closely related to investment to apartments, that would be it. And again, for all of the reasons that I just mentioned, that investment will continue to do well. Okay, it'll continue to do well. And so just to pretty much summarize my podcast here this month, or the low risk real estate investment formulas, let me just tell you one more time. Formula number one, well-located, well-maintained, well-managed apartment properties. Okay. Formula number two, well-located, well-maintained, well-managed storage garage facilities. Okay. Small, fine. Larger, the better. Okay. Those two investments, where should I be looking to at least diversify some of my holdings? Those would be the lower risk real estate investments that you could get into, not lay awake at night wondering, gee whiz, what did I get myself into? You will be, in most cases, just fine. Okay. All right. Well, look, I appreciate you spending time with me this month. Hopefully this information has been helpful to you. And as always, if you have any questions about anything I've gone over here in the Fireside Chat, or anything else that maybe I didn't cover that you're kind of wondering about, feel free to fire me off an email. My contact information is very close by most of the time. Fire me off an email. I'd be happy to chat with you and answer your questions or get back to you on your comments. All right? Hey, have a great day, everybody. Appreciate the time. And I'm sure that we will be talking with you soon. Have a great rest of your summer. Okay. Talk to you later. See you. Bye-bye.